Hello, this is Daryl War, and this is the fifth podcast for the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. I know the episode is over a half hour, so hopefully, like I said, the intros will get shorter as the story gets longer. Because like I told you, there was that 7,000 word one, and I remember that one was quite long, so there probably won't be a big intro for that one, I hope. I got a lot of goodies here for you, and I have got to mention this work. It's not mine, and it's a plug, but nobody's making money off of it anyway. Doesn't matter. But it was amazingly funny. It's on fanfiction.net, but there is a way more readable version out there. The title is one word, and it's called Monkeywood. As you can imagine, it's the monkeys going to Collinwood, and it's totally clean and totally hilarious. One might wonder how I didn't find this earlier, and maybe I did, but that black text on a white screen doesn't do any of us justice, you guys. We all know that. Hence, me and my podcasts here. The other version of the story she posted was blue text on a black screen, and it's much easier to read. You can use a search engine to find it, typing that one word, Monkeywood, M-O-N-K-E-E-W-O-O-D, in there. And remember, it's two E's in their spelling of monkey. Plus, I'm a bit glad, if I hadn't read it before, that I read it when I did, because now was likely when I needed it most. So, Reese, wherever you are, thank you so much. Also, I think, even unfinished and short, it's so good on its own already, I would be more than happy to read it for you on the audio fanfiction library. So if anyone knows where that clever lass may be, please let her know. She really made a good morning for me, so many years later. One of the biggest highlights for me was how she described everyone in Collinwood. Wandering around in daytime attire, you know, just wearing casual clothing at 2 a.m. like it was completely normal. So true. So true. Just, which reminds me of, I think, episode 2 of mine where after the seance and Barnabas and Hoffman are about to go out the door. Roger says, "Oh, you two leaving so soon?" "It's nearly 1 a.m, Roger." "I know, you don't usually retire till dawn." So it's just fun, hard work, but fun. Grueling sometimes, I admit. It hasn't been the happiest road in the world, but there's been a lot of laughs. And so, plus with Monkeywood, I didn't read it happening, but I was just waiting for, heaven rest his soul, Davy Jones, to make the moves on Carolyn, considering how Davy had so many love interests on the monkeys. So if you're interested, check it out, because it isn't long at all, and almost every single line is a crack-up. Even if you don't know the monkeys, it's still funny. Heck, even if you don't know Dark Shadows either, it's still funny. Explosively fine material, lady. Marvelous. Remember about the signs I got? I think what is wild is when it was more of a spoof story, I didn't get any. But the more complex I made it, so it was like romance drama, a little bit of horror and comedy combined, the more it became a rewrite based on the original Dark Shadows, the more coincidences I've found coming through to me. Weird stuff happening out there. Or coming, you know, at me. So those are coming up. I had one, but I just saw the time amount for the intro and the time amount for the episode, and I want to shave off as much as I possibly can. So more will be coming, hopefully, next episode. Now let's jump back into where I left off in my original intro. I've often heard dejected folks who think they can't read, but the real trouble I see with that is just not giving them the material that will interest them. Okay, sorry, got a little interruption bicker here. Did it go away? Well, you might still be able to hear it, but as always, I've been recording this intro. There's a leaf blower getting used outside, and I have to ask, do we really need machines that are so loud in our lives? I mean, we want to be healthy and take a walk down the street, but should we really have, like, machines that are so loud as we have them? Where if we want to have a conversation with somebody, we have to yell? Seriously, it's got to do something about this. All right, back to the intro. In most cases, going back to the reading, If it interests you, the reading will come, and there are audiobooks and methods to help with that. We all have different ways of getting those goodies to our minds and hearts, so find the method that works. I've said it before to people, if we were all the same, we'd all have the same allergies to the same things, and we don't. Preferences work similarly, and some don't last forever. We all change. And so can call and support. And now that I'm off my soapbox a second, let's take a look at it. Soap. Not necessarily soap opera, but if anyone out there remembers the commercials during the Dark Shadows program when it originally aired, I'm actually rather curious what the ads were. So if anyone recalls them, let me know. Just curious. This episode shows my take on how Dark Shadows works. As you may know, the same actors played so many different roles. I know Jonathan Frid got tired of missing out on that and wouldn't do another year until he could play a different character. I haven't seen Bramwell much, and I know there are fans who don't like him. But when you think about it, can anyone really blame Mr. Frid for getting tired of the same role while watching almost everyone else switch to something different? I've actually heard, and I may be incorrect, that one of Grayson Hall's favorites to play was actually Magda, from the 1897 period. And I'm not surprised. That's been so interesting, and she does a great job of playing a gypsy. At first, you might get a little weirded out by the accent, but I think she pulls it off great. So, if she did really enjoy it as much as I thought, I'm really glad. Looked like a fun role. I also want to hand it to Diana Mallet here, because I remember reading that she didn't want to play a different character on Dark Shadows. She really shines as a unique icon to me on that. It's nice that with the whole reappearance in different periods at Collinwood, Diana Mallet preferred Laura and Laura only, so I have to give her some real credit there. It was neat to hear someone liked being this mysterious same person that kept coming back. In fact, it really made us laugh when Barnabas was getting all weird about recognizing her in the show, and at some point trying to make a big deal about Laura reappearing from various time periods. We had to shout out, "Oh, Barnabas Collins! Look who's talking!" Now, this episode 5 here, for anyone who thinks the Evans are easy to write for, I had some trouble with this one. I have probably rewritten their discussion about 5 times. For people who know the original Dark Shadows program, Maggie Evans was hired as David's new governess at some point since Victoria Winters was gone. I'm sure there was also the purpose of her pop being gone in the original program, but even with Sam still around in my version, I can see it happening. I mean, Vicky ain't in Collinsport anymore, and they were friends, so who else are they going to hire? It's interesting to see Sam and Maggie discuss that change. She's pulled in 2 different directions, and I finally got some sound advice out of Sam here. As for Maggie being pulled in 2 different directions and being uncertain, the original program gave me some good stuff for this. Anyone remember the earrings? They didn't do much with that little mystery, but I had a strong sense of where the writers wanted to take it. My deduction is that they saw the whole kidnapping thing from before and just went, never mind. Still, when she has those earrings, she doesn't get lost and hazy with fright. You know, maybe thinking there was something with the kidnapping, if you recall. She got spacey and later determined about them. And her boyfriend, or fiancé, Joe Haskell, got rather upset and badgering. So I must thank and bless the writers of Dark Shadows for giving me that link-up to work with. Oh, and also big cheers to Catherine Lee Scott, because I think she really pulled it off when she put the earrings on, and during the argument with Joe Haskell, one dropped. She was graceful during that scene, just keeping her hand over her ear and getting that performance out since they only had so much time to film the show. Yep. Those pesky clip-ons. I remember those. And I'm sure they're still around. But I could go on forever about those bloopers and missteps. Some were scary. You got really worried if anyone was going to get injured. I hope it was safe and nothing really tragic happened on that set. Then again, I probably don't want to know if it did. So in this episode, we've got Carolyn and Tony. I know Carolyn's description of her encounter with college applications is a bit vague, but if anyone remembers some really trifling and annoying forms they've had to fill out, you'll probably get a decent idea of what she's talking about. And between that bizarre intensity and all the stuff going on at Collinwood, it can be easy to see where Carolyn would just go, forget it. Also, I don't remember making this connection before, but when Tony suggests an option, considering who they went to visit in Schooner Bay, I have to just get blown away by this project. I can't remember intending it. And the discussion here between Barnabas and Professor Stokes, I'd always wanted to see them discuss the professor's relation with Ben Stokes, who in 1795 was Barnabas's helpful, though bewitched, servant. I felt so bad for Ben that when I saw the professor, I just fell in love. I was so pleased that something good came out of Ben Stokes' life. The Stokes clan finally came a long way, and it was so pleasant. Plus, hey, you gotta dig that monocle. And not only that, Stokes got some damn fine lines. They were equal to Rogers, if not even better sometimes. I hope I can give him some more. I don't think I've matched it up yet. Plus, here we are with Stokes being helpful. And who is he helpful to? Willie Loomis. Also, later I was amazed at this idea that I thought was kind of a silly extra to add. But with him being a professor, it makes so much more sense now. Also, the way he comes to the conclusion is pretty fun. Just struggling to read this letter from Willie Loomis. Also, I had a little trouble with Captain Greg and Sam, so it's a little odd right now, but it'll make more sense in episode 6. I realized it didn't make much of a straight connection, but hey. With Dark Shadow's methods, I managed to twist the story around, so it did make sense. And on top of that, it helped because, though Sam doesn't remember everything from his experience with the painting, the captain will help him keep in touch with what happened. Like I say, Captain Greg has been really helpful. And I also want to definitely add, does anybody remember the time where Hoffman and Barnabas were standing around and Hoffman made a suggestion that, wow, we're just kind of standing around here doing nothing. And Barnabas made the suggestion, well, what would you suggest, Doctor? That we play cards or cribbage? And she's like, no. And I'm like, ah, woman, play some. Yeah. And I was like, we were sitting there going, ah, I want to see that. I want to see that. So in the next episode, we get it. We get the cribbage game. And it does actually help the story quite a bit. So that is a little something to look forward to. There is a reference to another 1960 show called The Prisoner in here. I had to include that because I found out along my travels through Dark Shadows and my pit of ultimate Dark Shadows that there were two versions of Josette's music box tune. And what with reusing material, one version of that music box tune was used in The Prisoner. Plus, the scene itself is important since the girl who walks in this old style gown, and number 6, played by Patrick McGoohan, says, don't tell me that time travel is in it as well. That alone is good for Dark Shadows when you consider here we have this spooky show with vampires, werewolves, ghosts, etc., and time travel? So, what with the scene having so many connections, I just had to fit it in there somewhere. Peter and Victoria wrap up the episode at a familiar location, also brought to the screen in the 1960s. I kept them present day since the Victoria-Elizabeth relationship was left unresolved. So if anyone remembers Dark Shadows and Peter Bradford and or Jeff Clark disappearing back to the past after they got married, well, let's just say he didn't fade entirely and managed to rematerialize. I put that fading possibility down to plain fatigue. The chap had been through quite a torrential amount, anyway. I must admit this project just gets more and more interesting, and there seems to be far more than one reason to do it. A lot of fanfiction tends to focus on one relationship, but I do aim to square up as many people as I can so they're all happily linked with someone. Plus, what really intrigued me was I gave a few people recordings of the stories recently. No intros, and what's interesting is these listeners are so young, they don't know many, if any, of the characters I'm using. But their imagination is creating them. I saw a great image of Hecubus that doesn't look like the original. It's totally fascinating to hear that. and to see it. So I'm really looking forward to discovering what other people are visualizing, and I'm wondering how many people can enjoy this without even needing to look anything up. So, please enjoy, and if you can, let me know what you liked. It's fun to share. Thanks.
You tell me that you've never been this way before. You tell me things I know that I've heard somewhere. You're standing in the places and you're staring down through faces that bring to mind traces of a girl that I knew somewhere.
The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, Episode 5, Saving Pop. Damn straight. Good evening. And once again, I welcome you, with a whole heart, in various degrees of wickedness, of course, to the Pit of Ultimate Darkness. I am your host, Sir Simon Milligan, and for those of you without a whole heart, one of both courage and deviousness. Get up and go to your radio and turn the station. Go on! Exercise your exclusive uselessness to look away from your union demons. Now, for those of you who have remained, listen to my voice. And know that to listen to my voice is to hear the dulcet tones of evil. Yes. I have walked along the path of evil continuously, incessantly, without trepidation. Until, of course, a branch trips me up, or I'm trodden upon by happy joggers in tracksuits. Or a particular bit of graffiti carved into a tree startles the sheer crap out of me. But I continue forward! And now, I'd like to present one who encompasses the beauty of the mighty Beelzebub himself, Manservant Hecubus! Manservant Hecubus? Manservant Hecubus?
Hi.
What are you thinking wandering from behind? Don't you know you should always...
not catapult my car into your parking spot and then get distracted by a fair damsel and show up late anyway?
Hecubus, you didn't. I had to park at the hardware store and walk 2 blocks.
Yes, Master. Evil. And now for the sleep of ages.
Laval. Saval. Cutty.
Hecubus!
Yes, Master.
Please inform our audience, and myself, for I've forgotten, where we were in our story of Collinsport.
Yes, the painter, Sam Evans, was being inhibited by a previous incarnation as he vandalized the portrait of the beauteous Angelique.
Yes, she is a dish, isn't she? And of course... this is the same painting I had in my shrine to her that you did away with to suffice that undeserving Roger Collins. Pfft! If she only knew my feelings!
Yes, Master. And as this beauteous evil was being so vandalized, 2 young lovers managed to switch his work with another portrait from Gull Cottage in Schooner Bay.
And pray, who was in this portrait?
a sea captain of extraordinary valor and spirit.
Thank you. Yes, I am. Huh? What was that? It is I, Captain Daniel Grigg, or if you prefer, the ghost thereof.
This is preposterous. Ghosts are invisible. How am I seeing and hearing you?
Because I wish it. Well, this is a new one on me.
Tell me, Captain, what are you intending for our vista of iniquity?
I was hoping you would tell me.
Master, I am fading.
Precisely. Well, on with the show!
Daring of us, wasn't it?
Yes, I'm feeling like I did in college, by golly.
But I'm not sure where to go. That thing is awfully cursed.
Cursed? No such thing.
Oh, Tony, please, you live in Collinsport. You must be aware of the seriously unexplained phenomenon we have going on here.
Yes, but I didn't want to be the one to say it.
Well, that's fine. But I'm not sure where to... Oh, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. No, don't slow the car down.
What is it?
Remember, well, maybe you don't. I was held hostage by that, the big fella in the cemetery.
Oh, yeah. That was quite a while ago, wasn't it?
If you call a few weeks ago quite a while ago. Anyway, we could stash the painting there.
Do you remember where it is?
Well, between you, me, and the glove box, I do. It's an old root cellar, and it's off to the right of Eagle Hill Cemetery.
All right. I'll take a turn here, and we'll be on our way.
Carolyn,
do you mind if I ask you why you have remained so long in Collinsport these days? You seem the type to be attending a college at this point.
Well, you can see part of it. It has been a bit beyond the norm of drama, even for a wealthy family with too much time on their hands.
Again, I didn't want to be the one to actually say it.
No need, my dear. I'm aware how strange it all appears. I had a few colleges in mind, and my mother had a few others, of course. I did send out some applications, and had a few acceptances, really. But, oh.
Nothing piqued your interest?
Well, I remember getting so discouraged by a few applications. The questions were so inane. All the choices stank. If I had written those up, I would have asked the questions in a completely different way. And in multiple choice, it was like picking the best of the really bad. The alternative from those schools was a degree at Iowa State, which might have been fun, but that's about it.
I see. Yes, I can't really see you as a home economics type fitting up the frilly apron and powdering cupcakes.
Me neither. They have other options there, but that's how I looked at it. See? I knew I liked you. So what would you see me as?
Oh, well, considering the life you've been spending here, I'd anticipate a mystery novelist. Or at least into gothic romance. Or a bit of both, you know.
Nancy Drew incarnate?
Oh, well, a bit more adult than that, I'd say.
Oh, well, I don't think I could do the writing part. But I think the administrative parts I'd be happy with. Remember who I come from.
Really? With all this material, you don't think you could do the writing part?
No. It's tempting to try, but I'd be happier dropping a few hints to some writers in a publishing firm. My lot is more familiar with the numbers sides of things. But I thank you for the encouragement.
Carolyn Stoddard, you are my kind of girl.
You know something, Tony? I think I am. Oh, there it is!
Meanwhile, at the home of Professor Stokes, of which, if there is a name for it, escapes me at present.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Collins.
And how did the other night go with... Very well. Except... Oh, dear. Some other catastrophe has come to light as a result. Not exactly. My plan was fairly successful. Well, minus a few distractions. You didn't become too emotional, did you? Perhaps. Mr. Collins, you do realize that becoming too emotionally involved when practicing the mysterious arts is a fatal mistake. One needs emotion, yes, but focus is more important. I know. You explain that, and you are most correct, Professor Stokes. It presents a more vivid look at why her various curses at me keep dragging on so long.
Centuries long? I'm not sure I'd call that a fatal mistake.
Well, it's really my long-dead ancestor she's after. I'm just a descendant from England.
Of course, Mr. Collins.
Still, she keeps missing the target to my ultimate demise.
Too much emotional involvement with the subject, Professor. I reference this as an example to keep in mind.
As well you should, Mr. Collins. And now I must make a small confession.
Oh?
A small one, mind you, but nonetheless of peculiar importance. I shan't ask you what you know about Adam and his whereabouts. Perhaps it is best I don't understand entirely his background and what others understand him to be.
What did you wish to express?
I wanted to express that I was briefly tutoring him, in however few hours I could make an impression.
I see. I suppose with your astute and collegiate background, no other person would be better equipped to handle such an infantile personality.
As it turns out, my attempts at instruction did not go to waste.
Indeed?
Yes, I wanted to share with you this lovely picture postcard.
New York?
According to the postmark and the photo on the front.
I have left Collinsport to pursue a career in cleansing agents. I thank you deeply for your patronage and assistance. I have changed my name and intend to live a fruitful life and discover who I am amongst these many oddly placed parts. Your grateful friend, A.
I presume you wondered.
And perhaps I have.
It has certainly been a strange journey with that one.
That one is precisely in question. He represents the allegory of the many within the one, as it were.
That is an interesting metaphor to place upon him, and likely a very true one. Aren't we all placed from various parts, past and present?
I take it you're referencing my ancestor, who was the servant of your ancestor. Do you know much about this Benjamin?
A fair amount. And I must admit, there is only a few rare sketches of his likeness in the family history. But you do resemble them greatly, and it makes you feel a deeper kinship with me. You couldn't have expressed it better.
I understand. And I must admit I appreciate this as well.
It's more than that. As you may know, there are so rarely conclusions and resolutions in the family history, even after one has passed away. But with Ben...
He was resolved. He did well.
Yes, he did. You are the living proof, and I am very grateful for it. And with that, I feel the need to share my own little missive on the topic of hired help.
Wincliffe?
Who do you know there? Well, I suppose I could just read it. No, I can't.
Yes, it's a bit like the print of a pussycat holding a Japanese brush.
Shodo, indeed. If only Saseki's cat could talk. Who? Mr. Collins, really, You seem to be a man solely of antiquity, as though there is a gap of time you've missed. Of course not.
If nothing else, I certainly know who Dale Carnegie is. At any rate. You're holding the letter upside down.
Oh, my. Well, yes. Wait a second. If you hold it upside down, there appears to be an arrangement of letters written differently to create a secret message.
Oh?
Can you decipher it? I believe I... Yes, to be sure.
Sure? In this town.
Wait. Yes, it's two, but as a numeral.
Be sure to... What?
Drink?
Oh, well. Well, perhaps we shan't need to know...
Your?
Really, Professor.
Oval. Ovaltine? Huh? What is that? Why on earth would he... Mr. Collins, do you have a vitamin deficiency of some kind?
It may be said I have something of that kind. No fear, though. My valet is giving me precisely the things I need.
Well, why that was in code is enough a mystery. How about the basic prose?
Yes, well, I already had Dr. Hoffman decipher it, so I can read it to you. Doctors are far better equipped at deducing this griffinage than a layman, you know.
I wish you would.
I am getting Beeman's every day... I am getting better every day. How are things at the house? I am sorry I didn't get to the pipe on the wood stove, but the creosote was so very thick, and I couldn't find the right brush to get all the gunk off.
Did he care about that work so much? Oh, yes. You'd be surprised how much our Willie managed to get accomplished with all of the... other things going on at the time. Say hello to the doc for me, and please stay out of trouble. If you ever need another handyman, well, you know where I am. I guess I miss Collinwood, you could say.
Willie. Mr. Collins, do you think there might be something in the wood stove he speaks of, a message or object?
I must say I have my doubts, but considering Wadsworth is working on it now, I suppose I could let him know.
He may already know.
However, I am curious. Would you permit a presumption on my part in regards to Mr. Loomis?
Well, I would just as soon dispose of the pipe and replace much of the stove. What do you propose?
No, not the stove. Willie, that is. I'd like to send him a few things. Maybe have a specialist out to see him.
Specialist? Why, I believe he's getting the best treatment a Collins salary can provide.
Not medical, Mr. Collins. I mean calligraphy.
Calligraphy? Willie?
Yes, Mr. Collins. You'd be surprised at the benefits in character that can be gleaned from the result of simple, good penmanship.
Professor, I think you have something there.
The address, please.
Of course.
Meanwhile, at the Evans Cottage!
Pop? Pop? Why are you just sitting there, Pop?
Oh, Maggie. Where have you been all day?
Oh, I was over at Collinwood...
Pop?
Are you all right? Were you at the Blue Whale last night?
Oh, no. I certainly wasn't there. I can promise you that. I was here.
What were you doing?
Well, I had a painting project to work on, and I got very involved in it, and then Miss Stoddard and Mr. Peterson showed up, just right out of the blue. And all of a sudden, this painting was here instead.
Oh, I see. Well, this looks like something you'd put together, except...
Yes, I know. There are various stains and such. I'm guessing I ought to work on doing a cleaning.
Pop, do you have all the supplies you need for a cleaning? I don't think you've done one for a year, really.
Well, 7 months, but still, who's counting?
So what was this about being at Collinwood all day?
Well, as you probably know, David's governess got married and packed up.
Oh.
Oh. Oh? Oh, yes, I remember now. Vicky, did she really get married already?
Yes, Pop. Anyway, that leaves Roger's little boy David without a governess. So believe it or not, Mrs. Stoddard asked me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm not even sure what to say, except that... Well, no. I suppose the word nanny isn't exactly appropriate.
No, Pop, you've got that right. It's just that the topic itself is a bit...
highfalutin?
Exactly. I suppose I'd have to give up my job at the coffee shop.
Well, would that be so bad a proposition?
Well, I'd miss it, Pop.
Of course you would. But, well, why not?
I almost wish I could do both.
Both? Why?
Well, I just feel like, I don't know. It's like I'm pulled in two different directions, and I don't want to pick between the two.
Maggie, which one do you feel is really you?
What?
Which of those options appeals to you more? Which one pulls you closer? I mean, you remember you took that job to bail us out. You said yourself, you thought every member of the Evans family was born already in trouble. On some of us, it just doesn't show as much. Looks like it's finally starting to show on you.
I doubt picking between two jobs has much to do with being born in trouble, Pop.
Why not? It's a life choice, isn't it? Plus, you're having trouble with Joe lately, and...
Ugh, don't remind me.
I know, but really, you were so upset at him because he started treating you like, well, as though he was in charge of all your choices. Whatever, even with how good he's been to you and me. Then there was that other situation that he kept interrogating you about. Wasn't it just some jewelry or something?
I don't want to talk about it.
All right. Anyway, I know how stuff like that gets your dander up. It might be the reason you're having a hard time making the decision. Taking care of one child sounds simpler than serving out food to all sorts of folks in a more confined space. But the choice is yours.
Thanks. Still, I'm used to waitressing. Feels funny just to switch like that.
Anyway, well, I'm not sure how to tell you what to decide, but how about you doing the evening shift at the coffee shop and spending your day shift at Collinwood? What do you say?
Oh, that,
You could figure out which one feels like the better fit for you, Maggie.
I'll call Mrs. Stoddard about it. But, Pop, for now, what about this painting?
Huh? Oh, yes, this painting. Well, I suppose I'll hear about what the particulars are from those two who left it to my disposal. Anyway, Maggie, you have the night shift tonight at any rate. That will give you the right backdrop to think about how tired you might be from looking over a kid and textbooks all day, only to slave out the rest of the time among the locals. Likely wanting something juicy when they find out what you're doing.
That's true. I have to think about that.
Well, I'm out the door to work.
Love you, Pop. Love you too, Maggie.
Now, what is with this painting? Who are you, Captain Mysterious?
Greg.
What the hell?
Yes, Captain Daniel Gregg, or if you prefer, the ghost thereof.
I must be hearing things.
No, sir. If you were, you'd be seeing things as well as me at this very moment.
Well, I'll be damned. I can see you. Who the hell are you?
Whom do you suppose? The man in the portrait, my good sir.
But that's not possible. You've been dead for...
100 years, my good man. But don't let it distress you. Heaven knows it's distressed my painting.
But you're
a ghost? And don't I know it?
Then how am I seeing you?
Because I wish it.
Oh, is that how it works?
In my case, it does. I accidentally kicked over the gas heater by my bedside, and within those terms of the afterlife. You see, there are various bureaucratic influences and so many superfluous...
You're in limbo.
Likely, and most regrettably. But you need to be aware of a number of things that I know. There is a woman coming, a woman who is a bit fragmented.
Angelique Bouchard.
You know that? You can't know that!
Bossang Jenipu.
Andre, is that you?
Oui.
But Andre, you can't do this! That's position!
Oui, but I am he, you know.
Andre, you cannot do this!
I protect my daughter, then. I protect her now. What difference does it make?
Good Lord! I just wanted my painting to be fixed. How in the afterlife?
Million.
And everyone knows the love of my life has come knocking on the door. Poor L'Amour de Dieu. Drop it, Andre, please.
Why?
Be the man you were before you answered that door, please. Be the man you were. Let him go, Andre, please.
Oui, Kim Import.
Let the man of now get back into his skin, please.
Okay. Yes?
Are you Sam Evans?
Who wants to know?
It makes no difference. All that matters is that you have my painting.
I doubt it.
What? Where is my painting?
I must say, what I remember of it looked a good deal like you.
But where is it? Where did you put it?
If you are talking about what I had in my possession once but has recently been taken, I have no idea, honestly.
This is crucial to my existence!
I don't blame you for saying so. Anything might be crucial to your existence at this point. I'd wager 20 supplements a day.
Who was in that painting?
Well, that's an old captain friend of mine.
And we've been sailing these painted shores for well nigh over...
100.
100 years, so if you please.
What have you done with it? Where is my painting?
How should I know, madam?
Well, I suppose that got rid of her. Don't worry, she never saw me. Though she certainly had more ability to than most.
Captain?
What? I said captain.
I said what?
I said captain.
I said what?
I said captain.
I said what you want!
Well, now that we've disposed of the problem... I'm wondering, how do you want me to go about cleaning this painting?
In the normal way you would, I suppose.
And you'll keep me company? Honestly, it's pretty boring work.
I shall try.
Milligan.
Meanwhile, Barnabas returns home and has a nap. And that nap goes something like this.
Brief dream sequence.
Good morning.
Don't tell me that time travel is in it as well.
A woman is always impatient to wear a new dress. How do I look?
Different from the others. The maids come and they go.
We'll get along.
I'm sure you get along with everybody.
I've got a good mind to report you.
I'm new here.
Special delivery. Sign your number here, number 6.
Oh, Wadsworth, you've got my...
Your, Ovaltine, sir.
So to speak. Well, thank you for the, advice.
The car is ready if you would like to attend the coffee shop, sir.
How did you know? Oh, of course.
How could I not? Would you like the radio, sir?
Why not?
What is the poetry of the day?
Let us see.
Don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better.
Oh, dear.
Have you found her, sir? I don't know. You mentioned the poetry of the day, sir. May I ask why?
Well, Wadsworth, there was a time when poetry was memorized and deeply admired. And I find myself in this new in this new...
country, sir?
Yes. Well, to be sure. I've been interested in archives so long, I get a bit at home in olden times.
Of course, sir. So the poetry of the time?
Oh, it is the popular song. With the coming of instruments powered by static and lightning fuel.
Electricity, sir?
Yes. Now it seems the poetry is recalled in popular song. What fascinates me is that this was important long ago to children. They learned through songs of rhyming verse. And now we take this a step further. The poetry of the day is in the popular music. But so much is about love scenarios as well. Less story in it. Less teaching.
Well, here we are, sir. Break noise.
If I may ask, sir.
Yes, Wadsworth.
Might one take a sad song and make it better, sir?
Well, what else can one do with it?
Oh my. What a silly century. Anyone here?
Barnabas Collins. I was just thinking about you. It gets so quiet in here now. I can finally listen to my own thoughts. Well, what brings you out tonight?
It's late, and I knew the hot plate was still on.
Oh, no. I am going to perk us a fresh pot.
Oh, please. There is no need.
Absolutely there is. I saved a packet of beans I ordered from Hawaii. It is not Kona, but it still beats anything.
Oh, no, you mustn't.
Yes, I must. I saved it for an occasion like this. Besides, I have far too much to chat about, and I need a cup myself. I've been serving coffee all afternoon. Now, you just have a seat.
I think there needs to be more paintings of seaside scenes in this.
What's that?
Just practicing.
Oh? Practicing what?
Sarcasm. It seems to be very prevalent in this day and, country. I'm not sure I have the knack of it.
Yes, that could require some practice, I must say. I likely have the knack if you want some pointers.
Oh, my. What a tray. Maggie, you are excessively gregarious.
Pfft. Oh, really, Barnabas Collins. I insist. There is far too much going on that we simply need to talk about. Now, black as usual?
Well, perhaps as an emotional bracer.
Cream and sugar? All ready and...
crumpets? Good heavens.
Spread with cinnamon apple butter. See, I am not unmindful of your cultural heritage. Besides, we had them at your house already.
I know what interests you. But don't you think this is far too much trouble to go through on my account?
Not at all. I think a good coffee party is what we both need. I mean, look at all that's been happening. Willie's gone. Wadsworth came along. Vicky and Peter married and left. Roger Collins got married. Even that big fellow disappeared, the one that was keeping Carolyn hostage. And now she's off with that lawyer. We all had that terrible dream. And then, those two are off to Schooner Bay and bring in a painting for Pop to fix.
Goodness, Maggie, how did you wrap that up so neatly? You're better at the background of this town than the newspaper.
I've got connections. You know, Mildred.
Yes, Mildred Mayhem. I think I have, caught the drift of that.
Well, your catchphrases are getting along, Barnabas. Anyway, I have been offered a new job.
Come again.
A job, Barnabas. It's at Collinwood. For David.
David?
Yes, your cousin, David.
Victoria Winter's job?
Yes, a governess at Collinwood. You certainly are one to repeat what's been explained to you with a question mark. Why, Barnabas, you don't look a bit pleased.
I don't know. I suppose I should be pleased. But, Maggie, are you sure you want to work there? That you want to be a governess?
Well, no! That's why I wanted to talk to you. I wanted your advice.
My advice?
Yes, Barnabas, right now. Well, believe it or not, you're one of the closest friends I have in Collinsport.
Me?
Yes, you know, you do make a point of coming in for the coffee dregs during these off hours here. I doubt it was for the mountain-grown richness of Folgers. It's not like I hadn't noticed.
Master, why do they keep mentioning beverage products? Aren't we supposed to be selling soap?
Not necessarily, my minion. Now, shh!
Oh, I thought you were seeing Joe Haskell.
Oh, Joe.
What is it?
Well, we managed to split up recently. I really thought it would lead to marriage, but he got jealous and...
Jealous? Over whom?
Well, that's just it. If it was a person, I might not have minded so much. It was over a pair of earrings I discovered.
A pair of earrings?
That was all it was. Can you believe that? I became enchanted by them, and he became deranged over the whole thing. And I decided, well, if he's going to get loopy over a pair of earrings I admired so much, it was just as well to find out at the start that he had such strange personality traits.
It was indeed. Well, what happened?
Oh, he took 'em and had them appraised without my knowing. Thankfully, he gave them back, but we were about to go out together, and I was so annoyed. I wasn't very nice.
Maggie Evans, what did you tell Mr. Haskell?
Well, he asked if I was ready to leave for the restaurant, and I told him, sure, as long as they serve baby food.
Barnabas, do you think me too, well, reactionary?
Was your response due to the fact that he was jealous of an inanimate object?
Yes.
Well, I must ask, as others might, what does your heart tell you?
My heart? Well, as I look at you.
Yes.
There it is again!
What?
That terrible sense of familiarity. I have to wonder.
Wonder?
I would wonder. More coffee?
Yes, please.
Wonder why there is that sense of familiarity there. When I look at you, it's like, well, this game I used to play when I was a little girl.
What game?
I heard music.
Did you? Music?
Yes, I see your smile making fun of me. But I did, and it was a game. You can imagine all the wilds in this neighborhood I could get into. I heard it, or perhaps I only pretended to, in every tree and nook and under every rock.
And cave.
How did you know?
There are a lot of caves hereabouts. On the seacoast, you know.
But why would a little girl make-believe games about a music box? I ask you.
Did you ever find out what the song was?
No. And I might have heard it, but now it's completely gone from my mind. I can't hear it anymore. In fact, I haven't been able to since...
Since you came back?
Well, I suppose that was nothing to do with it. But sometimes I wonder about it. And every time I try, I just get the chills. And I give up.
Maggie, what about the job? Do you want to take it?
And you took my hand because?
Emphasis. Never mind. Maggie, do you want the job? What about this one?
I might do both. Well, don't look like that. I wouldn't mind both. Why not?
That is a lot. Why would you want both?
Well, I'm not one to idle. I like to keep busy. And not only that, there are those late evenings when I see a dashing fellow, if you'll allow me a bit of a tease.
I see your point. Can I tell you something?
What?
This is the best coffee I have ever tasted.
And now we lead you to a completely different coast across the continent.
Looks like there are vacancies here.
My goodness, Peter. Do you see that house in the distance? I used to think Collinwood had a gloomy aspect. But that house, though smaller, has a stark ghastliness about it.
Vicky, it could just be from how tired we've been looking for a place to stay. Well, that and all the dark clouds threatening rain.
That lightning shooting over the premises certainly didn't help.
The office is lit up. Let's go in. Hello. Did you lose your way? No. This is a motel, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I'm just surprised. I don't get many customers. Not since the new interstate was built. Bypasses the whole place. Let's see. How many nights are you staying?
Sir, if you please, can we have a different room?
But you haven't seen it yet.
Call me superstitious, but we're only recently married and trying to get away from some of the darker elements.
Ah, well. Yes, I can understand how 13 would not be the best room in theory.
Thank you. I think 2 nights would be suitable. We've been on the road a very long time. We have to get an idea of where we are and where to go next.
Oh, well, the main town of Fairvale is about a 15-mile drive from here. You could go in and check the little library we have. Lots of maps and information that could help you.
Why, thanks. That's good to know.
There isn't much in the way of restaurants nearby. If you like, I could bring you some sandwiches and milk.
Oh, you're very kind. But we filled up well, and are ready to hit the hay.
Good idea. Looks like rain, so the sooner you settle in, the better. I hope you enjoy your stay. I'm sure we will. Thank you very much, Mr.
Oh, please. Call me Norman. All due respect to The Kids in the Hall, Clue Film, The Prisoner, 1960s TV show, Psycho, 1960s film, Captain Sensible, The Beatles, To Take a Sad Song and Make It Better, The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, 1960s TV show, and of course, Dark Shadows, 1960s TV show.